Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Isota, who is here to speak with us about her experience of participating in the Jataka Tales Retreat. Welcome, Isota.
Hi, hello.
Hey. So as folks probably know, if they're looking at the schedule and hearing Michael's announcements weekly, we have this Jataka Tales Retreat coming up in North Carolina soon. And so we thought it would be fun to hear from someone who's had the opportunity to participate in the retreat already. So, Isota, maybe you could tell us a little bit about your experience of participating in that retreat.
Okay. You can guide me because there are so many things, you know, that come to my mind and maybe, but I was re-listening to the recordings that I made during those retreats. And I remember how fantastic it was. But listening to the recording, oh my God, it was so fantastic. And there was like one recording that went on like 5 minutes, saying, "Oh my God, this is my idea of having fun," you know. And the way it worked, it was that there are these fantastic tales that are really, well, I don't know, I think they're very unknown and they are very extraordinary and surprising and stimulating, and in that super beautiful protected environment we get to hear those tales and work on them, and I don't know, some of them, all of them are so interesting, one can recognize themselves in them. And yeah. I still am a character of some of those tales, you know, when it's incredible.
Exactly. For, you know, before we even go any further, I want to underline what a fun thing that, so you're looking at the retreat, you're remembering that participating in it, and you go back to listen to the file, it sounds like you have on the mm-hmm. recordings from that retreat. What a fantastic idea. What a great way to relive the retreat. And to remember kind of the process that you went through as you participated in the retreat. And so, yes, to jump to what you were saying, that it's a series of, as I understand it, they're tales of incarnations of the Buddha, you know, over how, you know, many, 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 many long time. We don't know how long.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my experience as well, exactly as you say, that first of all, they're like little koans, aren't they? Kind of, you know,
yeah.
like female thoughts, mm-hmm. where they're just amazing tales. They sort of stump you and, gosh, what is that? You know, what's that pointing at? And to be in that, as you say, that privileged environment and that retreat environment, that practice environment, where we get to look at that tale and then sort of watch the process around each one unfold for us, and to begin to see ourselves in our current everyday, quote, modern life, you know, mirrored in those very tales.
Exactly. And it's totally different. In my experience, it was totally different from like reading a Zen tale or a Buddhist yeah. tale at home, you know, because mm-hmm. the way it's proposed, it really mm-hmm. warps you in the story. Like you're really living, it's really like being part of this thing, you know.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
it really stays with you billion times more than a 3D movie, you know, even if you're just hearing it, you know, it's incredible, yeah.
That's a great image. So the 3D movie, yeah, okay, so it looks like it's popping out at you, but looking at something like this on retreat, it's a full, we can't even just say full body, right, because it includes way more than the body.
Exactly.
It's a full experience, yeah. And then the element, too, of getting to hear what each person sees in it. I remember so many times where we'd start on a tale, and then someone would start talking about their experience of it, and I'd think, well, of course. You know, how brilliant is that? But I never would have thought of it.
Yeah, exactly. When I was listening to the recordings that I made after, like after hearing them, you know, there were like a lot of recordings saying, somebody in group said blah, 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 you know, stuff about the tale. And another thing that I remember is that apart from the joy of listening to these things and on working on them, from what I remember, there was a lot of information too. Like, I learned a lot of things, like about Zen or about Buddhist, like stuff I didn't know. So that part was really interesting too.
Yeah, yes, exactly. And that the application of that, you know, learning about maybe particular aspects of Zen or practice that you hadn't known before, and then, again, being in the retreat environment, seeing the direct application to our lives and to our practice. So not just ideas, but things that we can actually bring and that can inform our practice on a kind of moment-by-moment basis.
Yes, yes, it was not like dogmatic learning like a concept. It was really learning like something that happens.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But also the stories were so unexpected, you know, that then in life when something happens that has kind of that strange twist, one still remembers about this is a like in a spot situation, and one remembers the character, or at least this happened to me, like they really stuck with me.
Yeah, that's a great point. If I understand you correctly, so like the things we remember in our lives are the things that really stood out and that were unexpected, and that's kind of what the tales do to us, is they bring us to that place of kind of, you know, it's like a process of waking up, right? Wake up, look. Because we're so used to going through our lives of, I know that. Yeah, I know that kind of story. Yep, oh, yeah, that ending.
Exactly, it's the opposite of that. Exactly, exactly.
Yeah, and so many places where, you know, so, and then the Zen master, and it's sort of like, what? Zen master?
What exactly? Really?
How could a Zen master do that?
Exactly.
That's not a Zen master thing to do.
Yes, and this is so fantastic. Exactly.
Yeah. You know, because the other thing, as you say that, especially, what it does is it bumps us up into our assumptions, right? The beliefs that we can't see. And they're assumptions because we can't see them. We don't even realize they're beliefs. But then something like that, a story like that comes along, and our beliefs bump up, you know, against them. And we realize, oh, wow, there's that whole belief system I didn't even realize was there.
Exactly.
It's so fun.
Exactly. And apparently, you know, also these characters have, even if, you know, one tends to consider them so holy, you know, they had their stuff too, you know, so it's kind of cool to know, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's such a good point, that it's not, you know, some guy who lived however long ago who had a completely different life experience than me, and, you know, yeah, sure, for him, you know, he could wake up and end suffering, but not me with carpool and, you know, bank accounts and bills and
exactly.
But to realize,
for example,
you know, they were human beings.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, there is one story when one character stays identified 5 days. Do you remember? And I think, wow, if he can stay identified 5 days, I can stay identified. You know,
Right. Yep. But it's not wrong and it's not bad. And
exactly.
And,
you know, another beautiful thing that it's just remembering, you know, being in this room with all these fantastic people and this voice reading to me, having my eyes closed. Oh, it's such a cherished memory. Just thinking about it just brings me to an immense peace and joy and the feeling of belonging, you know?
That's lovely. That's a lovely little piece of it. Yeah. Yeah, that's such a nice experience on retreat, that we get to be led through an experience in that way. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, lovely. Well, we're up against the 5 o'clock hour. Soto, was there anything else you wanted to add in before we end?
Oh, I don't know. But for me, it was the first retreat. So I recommend it to the world, but I don't know. Probably it's fantastic, even as a 20th retreat, for sure. But
well, I can attest to that. Yeah.
I'm sure, yeah, 200 retreats. But if somebody is thinking of their first retreat, it's so fantastic.
Well, that's another good point. I'm glad you said that because, something like old Zen tales might be a little bit intimidating, and one might think, well, gosh, I don't know anything about Zen. How could I can't do that retreat. But that's a really great point. It's absolutely suited for anyone of any practice, wherever you are in your practice. Yeah, thanks for adding that in. And thanks for being with us this afternoon, Asota.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. And thank you for doing all these fantastic things.
Oh, it's great fun, isn't it?
It is, my God.
Okay, good. Take good care.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. And we'll turn it over to you and Sherry, Michael.
Okay, excellent. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Asota. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you?
Good. You?
Great. I'm great. I'm great. I'm glad to be here, and I love listening to Asota and Jen. Wonderful.
I know, me too. I was thinking the one point that didn't get made in that interview that we can say, while getting to retreat, that's really hard. You know, I'm so busy and getting to retreat, it's so expensive and, I have to whatever. And here's somebody who regularly travels from another country to come on a retreat.
Yes.
And obviously just sees tremendous benefit. So that's I like to remember that. You know, if I think, I gotta get on the plane and it's gonna take me 3 hours to get there. Okay. Or I could be coming from another part of the world and it's a whole lot bigger deal than that. So
yeah.
It inspires me.
Yes. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it inspires me too. Mm-hmm. That commitment and willingness.
Mhm. Yeah. Yeah.
Great. I have announcements here, unless you'd like to start us in another direction.
No, I'm eager to hear these announcements.
Okay. As we just heard from Jen and Asota, the Jataka Tales Retreat, May 2nd through 7th in North Carolina, we'll use the ancient wisdom stories of the Buddha's incarnations to focus on antidotes to the three poisons, greed, hate, and delusion. This retreat with you, Sherry, and Ashwini includes workshops, yoga, meditation, delicious meals, and guidance with you, Sherry.
Mm-hmm. In such a beautiful location.
Yes. The Letting Go, Letting Life Practice Intensive, beginning March 28th, provides support for deepening awareness and practicing recording and listening. The intensive is part of the year-long retreat, but anyone who did not sign up for the year-long retreat may still register a la carte.
Mm-hmm.
And Reflective Listening Buddies is a powerful support for conscious, compassionate awareness, requiring participants to show up weekly to practice being present. And a new quarter begins April 15th.
Yeah. These are all good things, aren't they?
These are all good things. That's true. And for these and all other practice opportunities, visit schedule.livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can make guest show by pressing *6 and then 1, and a focus on one topic in 5 minutes really helps everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So here we go, Sherry.
All right. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Greta.
Well, hi,
hi.
Greta.
Hello.
What's going on in Greta's world?
Well, a lot of gratitude practice.
Oh, that's nice.
Wait, it is.
We just have to stop and underline that. Gratitude practice. That is,
yes.
That is beautiful phrasing for a beautiful practice. Gratitude practice. I like that.
Well, I have been, a life has assisted me with that in many wonderful ways. And it's just something that I took up in the middle of last year and have been pretty well sticking with it. And then this email class we're all involved in, or those of us that are doing it, has just ratcheted up the energy in that direction.
Oh, lovely. Can you say a little more about that?
Well, I'll give you the simple version, and then we could talk about whether this is a good way to say it. But what I realized, we have the recitation that we do at the monastery, we're here to end suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And it came to me the other day that I could write it another way, which is to say, we're here to put attention on awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of unfold it like that. And then I started mm-hmm. to think, well, all those 69 words or so, whatever they were that we looked at in the workshop on January 16th, we could
mm-hmm.
put those words in there. And it's obviously what has been said forever, the quality of our life is determined by the focus of our attention. But I'm just seeing that when I have a choice, because we're all practicing so much together, that choice just is starting to go in that direction more and more.
Mm.
And it's just like, well, of course I would rather have my attention there of gratitude or
mm-hmm.
kindness or compassion
mm-hmm.
or ending suffering. It's all part of it. But it's like, oh. And then what came to me today is we could just say, we are here.
Right. We are here. And as we are here, we have ended suffering.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's funny. When you say that, we are here. How is it we are here to
place
attention
right.
on awareness? Well,
right.
We're
here
your
to put
version
attention
of it.
On awareness. Right.
We're
yes.
here,
we're
to,
here
put
to put
attention
put attention
on
awareness.
If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will put attention on awareness.
Right.
So there are
yeah,
lots of ways
just,
to do it.
Yeah. yeah. We
yeah.
could just write the whole thing. And, you know, because sometimes we talk about how it's so easy to just get involved in what conditioning is doing. And
oh, God,
that's,
yeah.
I think, that's the shift that I'm seeing, especially working through the part of the this email class, going from content, you know, really getting hooked on some content, going to process, and then seeing that it really is just about where we're putting our attention.
Yes. Yes. And, of course, the thing that I am endlessly passionate about is that we know where to put our attention. So it's not like, okay, I'm suffering, the quality of my life is determined by the focus of my attention. Okay, well then what do I do? You know, what
exactly.
Okay, I know how to focus on suffering, but what's the alternative? We know what the alternative is. We know where to place our attention and how to end suffering. That is just there are no words to describe how extraordinary that is and how simple it is. Right? It's not like there's some big, okay, well then I'm going to turn my attention to gratitude and I'm going to practice holding my mouth right and getting all this and making this and doing this and doing that and working at this and focusing on this for a lot of years and really and giving up everything else and then maybe I'll end suffering. No, it ends in the very moment the attention shifts to gratitude.
Yes, and it's just, I think we have to go through that whole process that you just described of trying to do it a different way you know, being in conditioning, trying not to be in conditioning, okay, making this big effort to focus on gratitude or whatever it is. And then for me, I feel so blessed because life gave me this example and I just couldn't be anywhere else. You know? Mm-hmm. I couldn't get out of gratitude because it was such an amazing thing. And then now I'm seeing it's not so hard to do, you know, as you just said, it actually is fairly simple. We just have to want to go there.
Yes. And yes, exactly. And that process that I think so many people don't even know they're doing, don't really realize it exists as a process. So somebody says, well, the way to do that is da-dee-da-dee-da-dee. And so we hear that, okay? And I want to do that. And the person says, okay, well, the way you do it is da-dee-da-dee-da-dee. And without any awareness at all, I have just scrambled that into how I'm going to do it. I've lost sight of da-dee-da-dee-da-dee, right? I know that's what they said. But I'm going to do it this way. I'm going to do it my way. I know how to do that. I know how to do that. And so I'm going to do it this way. And having no idea at all that what's happened in that scramble is that egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate has turned a way to do something into a way to suffer.
Right.
And almost everybody will come out of that concluding, well, it doesn't work. Or, well, I couldn't do it. I mean, maybe somebody else can, but I can't do it. And all that happened in that is I didn't do what I was told would work. I listened to conditioned mind come up with a better idea and failed to realize that the whole point of that better idea is to be sure that I fail so that I'll be in the same place. Yep.
Right. Yeah, it's so interesting. You know, it's so easy to get to lose focus or to think we're focusing, which is what you were just describing, and then find ourselves just led down a rabbit hole again. And what I appreciated about this email class is in the instruction, you were guiding us to say that when we see through how conditioning does these things, we will then see the process that allows us to see it.
Yes.
Which is just, I typed that, you know, I clipped that out and I put it on my computer. So every time I was working on the class, I could be reminded that I was looking at how I was looking. And that I think was what really turned it, because then I can see, okay, where am I getting that information, which is usually always in the wrong place unless I open up to it. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And making that shift.
Yeah, I was talking to this gal the other day. This is in another thing that I'm involved in. And she was talking about people saying no. So, you know, you ask somebody to do something and they say no. No, I don't want to do that. No, I'm not interested in that. You're crushed, right? Because, well, I just asked you to do this thing and you've said no. And so what she says is, and so what did you make that mean? What did you make that mean? Does that mean I hate you? I don't want to be your friend anymore. I've never liked you. I think you're stupid. Or did it just mean, no, thank you, I don't want to do that? And in the same way, what you're saying is you're looking to see what meaning got put on a simple piece of information or a simple request. And that's how the scrambler works.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I read, do this, that, and that, and immediately it goes into, oh, well, what that means is it's a karmic conclusion that has nothing to do with the information that was actually there.
Right. And we so can't help it until we really can
That's right.
Until we know that that's what's going on all the time.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then we become aware of it enough to realize, oh yeah, I heard that before, or I've been down this track a million times, or whatever. Yeah, because it does kind of, it runs out of new ways to get us. It's just going to recycle
right.
something that we can get familiar with. It may be bigger, better, or faster.
Right, which is why it works so hard to get people to quit early on. Because if we stick with practice, exactly as you say, we're going to see. It has a finite repertoire. And as soon as we see it and recognize it and can, okay, well, that's got me in that. And yeah, okay, I've fallen for that. Yeah, okay, that. All right, that. Got it. Okay. I know what its deal is. Now I'm in a completely different place with my life. Not with it, with my life. Now I'm freed up. I don't have to do that anymore. I don't have to give my attention to that. It doesn't matter what it's doing. I want to live in gratitude.
Exactly so.
Exactly
so. I had an ulterior motive for calling, which was I could just write the word gratitude 50 times in my last response to the email class. Or I could call you and talk about gratitude, and then I could write something related to gratitude, but I didn't have to just say gratitude 50 times. But take this as gratitude 50 times
gratitude
over.
Gratitude 50 times.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I got it.
It's
All
been
right.
wonderful. Thank
it
you very
has
much.
It's been fun. Thank you, Greta.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Greta. I love that, Sherry. All of those thank yous I could add to that.
I know, gratitude 50 times. That's pretty fun.
I was
just writing about that in the class today, as a matter of fact. I was reminded of a monk that we had at the monastery long before recording and listening. And when he realized he was caught in conditioning, egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, he would just sit down and he would write thank you, and then he would say thank you, and then he would write thank you, and he would say thank you. And he would sit there and do that until he disidentified. Just a great practice. But you can't do
Magical.
It for very long
the word
and stay identified.
Mind.
You just
yes.
Pardon me?
Yes, exactly. It's magical.
Yeah. Magical. Yeah. And all we have to do is do it because, as we know, the quality of our life is determined by the focus of our attention, and we can't write and say or say and listen to thank you over and over and over and not slide into gratitude, no matter how hard those voices work to keep us from that experience of gratitude. They're hopeless. They're helpless in the face of it. They just have to give in.
It's true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You got somebody else for us?
We do. Let's see who it is.
Oh, yay. Let's see who it is.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you introduce yourself, please?
Hi, Sherry. It's Jenna from Pittsburgh.
Well, hello, Jenna. How are you doing?
Hi. Well, up and down. And I wanted to check in with you about some tools that I feel kind of saved my life and maybe ask the question at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So just to give a little content, I went away on a training, and when I came back, I had this major feeling of sadness and depression and, like, just loss of self-confidence. And I just didn't think I could do it and couldn't get out of bed. And I had a lot of resistance. I don't know, just about everything. There's a silver lining in the whole thing, but my boyfriend was just so wonderful and always complimenting me and talking about our future, and it really felt real. And then we kind of hit a wall. Within 4 days, we just broke up, and it was just so sad and shocking. Because it was, he was just repressing so many things. And I realized he practiced, I thought he had a spiritual practice that was similar to mine, ending suffering, but I realized he practices restraint and locking ego inside his head so it doesn't get out. And yeah, but what was so interesting about the whole thing is that when I realized the ways I hurt him, the way I spoke and the unkindness, sometimes when I got scared, I had this grace from God that I needed to step up my practice, and all the resistance just left me. And on our last talk, I was able to really listen to him and apologize and not point any fingers at him and just let him go. And my practice is as strong as ever. And what is so awesome, the tools of setting a timer for every hour of the day or every 15 minutes and just repeating the mantra. I call it the reality mantra. I don't know if it has a name, but it's like you say your name and then a couple of facts about you, and then you try to teach yourself a new fact that you want to learn to replace conditioning. And it was just like my lifeline. I mean, literally, it was my lifeline. And I must have recorded about 45 recordings, and some of them were 2 minutes, and some of them were 47 minutes, and I had always wondered, how do I start to love myself? And I felt like this just opened up this grace where I was suddenly doing it, and I'm just so grateful for practice.
Wow. That's a lot of big practice, isn't it?
It was so necessary, but I was so thankful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I got to say, I hope you make a few recordings about that.
Yeah,
because a lot of folks would have thrown in the towel rather than stay in a place of, wow, I really needed to learn this, and this has been really, really painful and really, really hard. And I can see that I needed to go through it. I couldn't have, the transformation wasn't going to happen any other way.
No, and I thought something big was going to happen, but I never thought I would have broke open to the willingness and the ability to do the practices.
You know, the funny part of this, I don't know what you've seen about the content of, you know, what you're doing with your life, but what strikes me about it is that the irony, and I don't know if it's true, but I'm gonna say it, and then you can tell me what you think, but that the only reason, when you came back and had that little breakdown of the loss of confidence and that whole thing, I would guess it's because you were actually doing really well, which is usually when that kind of thing happens to us. When we get hit with, no, you can't do this. This is, it's not going to work. This is a mistake. What are those kinds of messages that are designed to throw us in a pit of depression? Those usually come when we're doing well, when there really is an opening for you to be doing what it is that you're doing. When there's a really good chance you're going to be successful, that's when they hit us with that kind of stuff. Not when it's not going to work, because if it's not going to work, they're fine that we go ahead with it.
Well, I knew that principle, but it didn't feel like...
No, it doesn't. No. No, but, no, not when somebody's kicking you in the solar plexus.
Well, what was interesting is it was an Enneagram training, and I saw everything I did to keep me small. And it was so humiliating and, like, nauseating, you know. And then I kind of realized well, that's okay because I know how to, I know what else to do instead. And it suddenly became like, yeah, empowering, like, no problem. I just start doing this.
That's right. And because you have a practice that lets you know that's not you doing that, right? That your part in that is going along with it, which you can stop doing at any time you choose, which it sounds like is the choice you've made.
You know, and sometimes it wraps around, though, you know, and I was talking with my Zen coach, and we spend a couple hours or a couple sessions a week, and I'm so thankful for that. I was just talking with her today. It's like, you know, it always comes back to get me again, you know, and you know, it's just so relentless. And then I blame myself for that, you know, like it's my fault.
Can't do that.
I know.
Can't do that. Not your fault. And I'll tell you, Jenna, the two places that I really want to underline for you is that you go through these experiences and you see that they are transformational experiences. Now, I mean, maybe not, you know, not when you're lying there under the bed sobbing, but pretty quickly, right? Pretty quickly you get to, okay, so there's the humiliation of seeing where you've been stuck. And very quickly you move to, okay, all right, now I've seen it. I can do something about that.
Yeah.
That's the thing to emphasize, not what conditioning is able to do to you, or not the fact that you got to come to the Jataka tales, okay? You can't get stuck with, oh, my God, it's happening to me again. Because, you know, with the Buddha, for whatever, you know, people want to think about that, it was lifetimes, right? Just over and over and over and over until we learn all of the lessons that there are to learn. So it's a good thing. You're going fast.
And you know what the neatest part, I mean, there are a lot of neat parts, but it's really neat to, like, find the value of spending time with yourself. And I know we've all said this before, but like even when I talk to anybody but someone who knows how to reflective listen or coach or whatever, it's like nobody helps me. You know, it's like I'm the only one who really knows what's going on. People all have their own motives. They want to change me and cheer me up and tell me what not to do and tell me what to do. And I stopped being afraid of being alone because I keep turning to, like, I need you, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know you're not alone, right? So at first I kid people, you know, they'll say, well, you know, and I don't want to be alone. And I'll say, well, you're never alone, right? Because that hateful voice in your head is right there with you. Right? But when we get to the other side of that, what we realize is that wisdom, love, and compassion is with us. The mentor is with us. That's a whole different you're never alone. That's the you're never alone that we're going for.
Yeah, it feels like I'm talking with something so superbly special.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty amazing.
Yes. Authenticity.
So I'm just also like scared this is all going to go away. You know, like I'm going to somehow lose this insider. I don't know. I think it's irrational.
No. This is where people are, Sherry, don't be so helpful. It will go away. It will. It will. You will move to another place, and you will go through the same process again with different content. Because that's what we're doing. We're waking up, right? One issue at a time. And it's, in my experience, we can go as fast or as slow as we want. If we love the process, which I think you're definitely in the process of doing, then the faster it goes, the more interesting and exciting it is. Yeah, because you're seeing the next one and the next one and the next one. And you're learning how to just let it go. There it is. Oh, that's amazing. I can see that. Wow. Okay. Now what? Or people can, you know, crawl off in a corner somewhere and say, please, please, I don't want to see anything else ever again. And be thoroughly miserable throughout their lives. Yeah.
Oh.
So you'll lose sight of this, but you've got the recordings. You know, it's what Soto was saying on Good News. You know, she listens to the recordings of the retreat, and she's back there in that experience again. And that's what you'll do with the recordings you've made from this. And they'll sustain you, along with the other thing, they'll sustain you through the next big hurdle you're going to jump.
Yeah.
So don't let them make you afraid. That's how the voices operate, you know. They start sneaking in, well, okay, you're all right now, but what's going to happen when they say, hey, it's now, I'm all right now. Let's focus on that.
I know, I am all right now.
Mm-hmm. No, more than all right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, all right. Well, thank you so much.
You are so welcome. Isn't practice just the best?
Oh, God, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Back
right,
back to gratitude, right? That's where
we
live.
Yeah, I wrote that down. Yeah.
Okay. All right, take good care of yourself.
Thank you. Good night.
Thanks. Good night, Jenna.
Thanks for joining us, Jenna. And that was an inspiring conversation, Sherry.
What courage. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's Sangha, isn't it? You know,
it's
just all, we have really big times, and we may be struggling, or we're upset, or we're sad, or we're whatever it is that's going on, and we come out of it, come through the other side. Maybe we've been, you know, it's something from that we've learned in practice before that we turn to, or you know, wherever that support comes from, and then we share that, and other people hear it, and that gives other people strength and courage to face the next thing, and that's just how we practice.
Yes, and they bring it to Sangha, to open air, to retreat, to workshops, and it's just so helpful. It's great.
Mm-hmm. Can you imagine if we each had to go through everything on our own? It would be a long, brutal journey. But doing it together, we're constantly hearing something from somebody or seeing something. Somebody has an insight and they share it, or awareness, and they remark about it or whatever it is. And it's we're growing. I don't know what the word for it is, but it's like everybody moves everybody up.
Yes.
Yeah.
And for me, it's like, well, if that person can go through that, which seemed impossible, then, you know, maybe I can handle this. And it gives me courage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And reminders about how, right?
Yes.
How to go through it. Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to hear from our sponsor now, Sherry, and then we'll be right back.
All right.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Sherry, we have more callers here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Michael. Hi, Sherry. It's Jessica from Boston.
Hello, right. Jessica.
Hello.
What's going on?
Thanks for having me on.
Always a pleasure.
Always. Really appreciating the previous call and the gratitude, and wanted to chat about something I've been stuck on, which is just sort of eating habits and noticing that conditioning just takes over, whether it's about sugar or chips. And as I was listening to other callers tonight, I'm sort of seeing maybe there's a bigger process here. I think there is a bigger process here where it says, you know, you figured out how to be mindful and aware in this sort of setting, maybe at work or here, but you can't figure this out, so you're kind of stuck with it. But even tonight, I came home, I wasn't feeling good. I got this soup that I thought would make me, I thought conditioning salt would make me feel better. Halfway through the soup, it's like, oh, you don't feel well, you should have some toast. I ended up deciding to flip a coin whether I should have the toast or not have the toast. I get the toast ready. This would be even better with honey. And on it goes. And I just feel like completely, I just feeling like I can't get out of it. Like, I'm just stuck. Like, I'm watching it happening, and I'm still eating, and then I keep eating, and then it beats me up, and then it says, this is why you're sick. And so I was just calling to get some, well, even one simple tool for the next week, try this. You know?
Okay, good.
Something like that.
Good. All right. Well, I'll take one from, it was from a group mentoring. I can't remember which one it was, but that you don't eat anything without first having a conversation with the mentor. Can you picture it?
I can.
Mm-hmm.
I can hear conditioning say all the reasons why I'm not going to be able to do that. But yes, I'm picturing it.
And what is it saying that you're not going to be able to do that?
So it's saying, but your job is so busy, you're not going to be able to step away, talk to the mentor before you eat, which is part of the reason it's saying I do this anyway, because it's too busy and you don't have time, and by the time you're starving, and then it's just whatever. That's the primary reason it's saying.
Uh-huh.
I don't have time.
And so what it does is set you up, put you in a position where you don't have time to take care of yourself, and then talks you into doing things that really don't take care of you, and then beats you up for having done them.
Yes, it's ridiculous. Exactly what it does.
Yeah. And is it now, so you came home from work in this case, but is it during the day as well?
Yeah, it's like any, it's pretty much all the time. I feel like possessed, control, like it's just, it feels very like an addiction. So I'll make these beautiful every day. I make usually three healthy Ayurvedic meals. They're lovely. And then at some point in the midst of it, it's like, oh, well, you should have a little piece of chocolate after that. Or you've had such a hard day, why don't you have an ice cream? And so it just gets piled on. And then once I have something, it's like, you know, it's like I'm chasing a high totally out of control. And then I feel sick, which may or may not be caused by it, but certainly conditioning tells me I'm causing all these feel, my cold that I have right now or whatever. But then it tells me I need these things. I deserve them because I feel sick. So it's, you know, it's
wow.
like vicious thing.
Yeah. Thinking. Well, it is vicious. And when you, I can't tell whether you know this, if you hear yourself saying it as clearly as you're saying it. You might listen to this recording at some point.
Yes.
It is obvious that it's all conditioning.
Yeah.
I mean, all the voices are you voices.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm aware that it's all conditioning. I feel that in the moment I'm not hearing the voices. It's just, it's like a feeling. Like I can feel what the ice cream will taste like, you know?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Okay. And so are you, and you're right. I mean, you're not there. That's the feeling of possession, right? You have been taken over. It's a body snatcher moment. You're not there.
Yeah.
It's just ego talking to ego, conditioning talking to conditioning, and you're only invited to the party afterwards for the beating.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what it comes down to is a commitment to take care of her. That's what's going to be required. So it's all those, you know, if you had a little girl, and this kept happening to her, every time you left her for a few minutes, this evil force would come in and talk her into eating things that made her sick. You would say, okay, well, this is obvious then. We can never leave you alone for a moment.
Never leave you alone.
Right?
Yeah.
It would be really obvious. And that's you. Okay? You can never be left alone for a moment. If somebody isn't there, say the mentor, isn't there to protect you, to take care of you, to help you stay conscious, these awful things are going to continue to happen to you. So that's what's going to be the that's what I would encourage. Okay. Now, the other thing I would encourage, so you never put anything in your mouth without being in conversation with the mentor. So you're either listening to recordings, if you're at work, you know, you're around other people and that sort of thing, then you have a recording that you listen to. You know, people they'll stop and pray before they eat.
I don't have to talk. I can just listen.
That's right. You can just listen. That's right. And so, but when you're home, when you're on your own, then it can be a full-blown conversation. Okay, this is what's going on with me, and this is my commitment. I don't want to eat these things that make me sick. It's not good for me. I'm committed to this. But also, here's the other encouragement. Make a plan for yourself for times when you can have these other things. Because if it just turns into deprivation, you know, if you never let a child have a treat, you're going to wind up with a sneaky, lying child.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because that's the other piece. Is like, I don't want to be like, I'm never going to have, like, an ice cream in the summer with my girlfriend. Like, that sounds miserable. I just don't want to have one, like, four times a week.
Yes. Well, you don't want to have one when you don't want to have one.
Right. Exactly.
And that's what you're struggling with. You're not making these decisions. Right? You want to make a conscious decision about in your body. And that's what you're not getting to do right now.
Right. Okay, that's really helpful. One other thing that I'm noticing that's coming up with the conditioning is sort of this story, and I think I'm trying to think about it in this realm of acceptance and creating the circle of acceptance around things, which I'm exploring in the email class. And it's so I'm thinking about how I came to not drink. Like I always would have a lot of angst around drinking socially, and it was a period of years exploring, like, sometimes I'm not drinking, sometimes I am, I'm taking the month of May off or whatever and going back and forth, and just sort of noticing how I arrived at the place, which was, you know, the there's nothing wrong with me retreat last year with no intentions of not drinking after, but it just kind of fell into place, and I left the retreat and just wasn't drinking, like I just didn't want to drink anymore. And so I think conditioning is like taking that over and saying, well, you just got to go through this like you did with alcohol and like you did with cigarettes, and you're going to quit and you're going to start and you're going to deprive yourself, and that's just what you have to go through. But I get that that's not acceptance, but I'm trying to feel that out, if that makes sense how I'm describing it.
Yes, the only thing that troubles me is that somebody is telling you this.
Yeah.
It's that same you voice. You know, now it's making this plan for you and telling you how it is and what you need to do and how that's going to, it's like, well, no, you don't get to do that. It may go that way.
Right.
We like to call that paying attention. Or, you know, doing awareness practice, not that voice in your head is going to control you to sometimes do this, sometimes not, feel bad, try hard, fail, get beaten up, you know, that you may go through all of that. You may watch all of that, but it's not because it's a requirement. It's just sometimes that's how we become aware of a particular piece of content.
Gotcha. And so if I wanted to, like, I definitely seen that. And that's what it was feeling like, that it was with just conditioning, trying to control the story and the outcomes and use another marker for what I'm doing well and not well.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
And all that's going on here is you are learning to turn your attention always to conscious, compassionate awareness for guidance. That's what's really going on, right? And all this content is stuff you're practicing with.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So make a commitment and turn to the recorder, either to record before I eat or listen before I eat. Start with that.
Yes. Yes. You're always in conversation. And, you know, the place that you know this really well is that you're in communication with your body.
Hmm.
Your body is going to tell you when it wants X, Y, or Z.
Yeah.
Not a voice in your head. That's how you'll know. I mean, there may be times in the summer when you're out with your girlfriends and you still don't want ice cream, even though everybody else does.
Yeah.
And so you won't have it. And then there will be other times when you actually already had ice cream, but it's just right, and it's just what you choose to do, and there's going to be no beating afterwards.
Right. Yeah.
Of course, you know,
possible.
I'm a big supporter of no beatings afterwards, no matter what you did. But
I'm practicing that part, but I definitely feel like that. So even hearing the body snatcher, because I think that's what's happening in terms of a lot of what I'm eating is, like, it just creates this, like, mental feeling that I have to have this thing, and then I just, you know, I'm out of control at that point. So
yeah, it's an addiction, right? It's how addicted people feel, right? I mean, you smoked. You can remember being addicted to cigarettes. And, I mean, you're going to have that cigarette. Somebody get between you and that pack, you're going to hurt them.
Okay, well, I'm looking forward to it. I really appreciate this guidance and everything. Sangha, all of you, thank you very much. Grab more gratitude.
All right,
more
let me know
gratitude.
How it goes.
Will do.
All right, thanks. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jessica. Wonderful conversation, Sherry. And we have another caller here.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry Michael. It's Linda from Alabama.
Well, hello, Linda. What's going on with you?
Well, that's a good question. I
start off with the tricky ones.
There's always a lot of things, but what I'm right in the middle of right now is that I just got home from a four-hour drive and I did a four-hour drive yesterday, and I'm doing a three-hour drive tomorrow. And I'm not even sure what I'm going to say about
it. My gosh, you could come and see us. You're going to drive like that every day. You might as well come to see us.
That's a great idea. Well, one thing that, I mean, I've been trying to do this thing about everything is an opportunity for, everything's good, right? So, like, this is good that I'm in this sort of marathon dizziness a few days. And, there's so many different things about it, but I'm going to tell you this thing that happened yesterday. Okay, so what I've been finding lately is I'm sort of finding these sort of deeply ingrained beliefs And the one that I discovered yesterday, because I really didn't have a chance to, I had to drive straight there yesterday, and I had to drive straight home today. Well, to take care of myself, I needed to drive straight home today. And and my deeply ingrained belief that I was suffering over yesterday was, whenever I drive somewhere, I like to have time to stop and do stuff along the way. Like, you know, go to the bookstore for a few minutes, get a coffee. And I didn't really have time to do any of that. And so I was just like, oh, this is terrible, I'm horrible, awful. And then it dawned on me that that was the case, you know, that I had that belief. And I managed to just stop happening.
If I may, if we stay with that, because I just find those things so interesting. So I like to stop along the way when I have a long drive so that, you know, I can enjoy myself. I can have a coffee. I can stop in the bookstore. I can whatever it is. So these are things to do to enjoy. And then they get turned into a source of suffering.
Right. Because I can't do that. I have to suffer. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just interesting, isn't it? Are you there? Hello?
Yeah,
am I there? Michael, am I here?
You are there. I think we have lost Linda.
Oh,
we have lost Linda. So I will keep an eye out.
There somewhere in the deep south. I'm going to grab somebody else, and we'll hope she gets back on.
Yes, and if she does not get back on today, we can put her back on next week.
All right.
Okay. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, so you wanted the Deep South, huh? This is Eleanor.
Hey, Alabama, Georgia, sure.
It's close. Yeah, I'm really excited I got on. I also drive on Tuesday night, so I'm not driving tonight, so I got to call in. So thank you.
Excellent.
Yeah, I get to
talk
to you.
What's going on?
Well, so here's the coolest thing is I have had all these great practice. It's been great. I have a lot of gratitude for especially the last week or so. I've done some things that have just really opened up my life in good ways. And so I caught during one of the earlier callers, I came to the awareness that my attention was on the conversation with conditioning about which one of these experiences I would share when I got on. And then I realized that it was just I was in that conversation. And so I said, I'll get a coin. I'll flip a coin. So I grabbed a coin, and by the time I got the coin, I realized I didn't have to flip the coin because I realized it didn't matter. So anyway, I thought that was just really neat that just the thought of doing that brought me to the awareness that it didn't really matter which one of my stories I told.
That's right, because you have to disidentify to choose to flip a coin.
Exactly. That brought me right in. Somehow it dropped in, yeah.
Yeah, and so as soon as we disidentify, it's like, well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter which one.
Yeah.
Because you're disidentified now.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's kind of the email class I've been seeing that is how awareness can be of, I can have awareness of all that, of wherever the attention is, that I can still have awareness of it. But if I'm identified, if what I call, you know, identified, then it seems like I don't have awareness of it.
That's
until
right.
Until I do, I guess. Until I do. And then.
Yes.
Then,
yes.
Yeah.
It's like or expanded vision, right? When we're identified, everything just gets so small to that little tiny imaginary world of that identification that everything else just goes away. But when we step back, we have a broad awareness, and it can also include what's going on in conditioned mind. So we can be aware that there's a conversation,
but we're not lost in it. We're not caught in it.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the things I experienced that started last week was there were all these underlying little things about what I should do and this and that that kept bothering. They were there and I wasn't seeing them. And finally dropped in that I would commit to not being in conversation about either of the two big content areas. Mm-hmm. And so I turned my attention actually to something else that was a real in life thing. I started doing this certain activity where I set the timers for recording every 20 minutes. And sure enough, as soon as I turned away and quit thinking about those other two things, like the most amazing things dropped in on that content and allowed me to actually be with that content without being in, I guess, without being in conversation about it. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
It was just miraculous. Yeah.
Well, before awareness practice and actually after awareness practice or with awareness practice, but the way people talk about that is they're grappling with this big, huge thing. They're caught in a duality. And it's just the conversation is back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And then they start doing something, some little activity, and they lose sight of that dualistic conversation in their head, and all of a sudden, the solution drops in.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. And what people don't realize is that's a process. It's not just like, wow, I was getting the vacuum out, and suddenly I realized that what I need to do is blah, blah, blah. Well, it's not an accident that happens. It happens when we turn our attention away from the dualistic in conditioned mind, and we bring it into the present, and we could be doing anything in the present that takes our attention and brings it here.
Yeah, and without practice, then we probably think that we have to go back and do that figuring out to get to that point. But because we don't
exactly
realize it when we get out of the figuring it out.
That's right. That the solution is always available. We have to give the space for it to come in, and we have to be present to see it, to receive it.
Yeah. Yeah, it really does feel like the lines are just clogged up sometimes.
Right.
if I'm in that conversation, it's like nothing's really getting through.
That's right, and that's the point. So that's the point of that dualistic ping-pong match in conditioned mind. It's actually actively preventing that clarity from dropping in.
Oh, yeah, and it is so great to get to that place of opening to life. It's just,
relaxing, isn't it?
I'm really appreciating it. Yeah, nothing's changed. My life is just great all of a sudden, just better than ever.
Yeah, yes.
I can't even think of gratitude.
For a lot of us, what we realize is it was always great. I just wasn't here for it. Right now, it's great, and I'm actually here to enjoy how great it is, which throws us headlong into gratitude, and we just swim around in that in a delighted sort of a way.
Right. Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Well, I love it. Thank you.
Me too. I'll get to see you soon. I'm one of those lucky people that'll come to the Jakarta Tales retreat in North Carolina.
Excellent. Excellent.
Yes, I'm very excited. I don't know about the dogwoods this year. You know how climate change is going, but,
I know, but I know you're all going to do your very best.
Absolutely. And the cardinals.
To get me some dogwoods and a couple of cardinals. It's really all I ask. Well, and to see all of you and have a great time. But aside from that,
okay.
That's just the dogwoods and the cardinals. All right. You're on it.
Yep.
All right.
We're looking forward to it. Thank you, Sherry.
You too.
Bye. Thanks, Michael.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Eleanor. Sherry, we do have Linda back, and it's 6:01. Do you want to have a brief conversation, or we?
I think we better not. I think we need to invite Linda to come back and talk to us next week.
Okay, good. So I see her in the queue here. So she's hearing this, and I will recognize her next week then.
Okay, we got a guarantee from her that she'll blink twice there if she let us know that she'll be back next week. All right.
Perfect.
All right. Well, thank you, Michael.
Sherry.
And as Eleanor indicated, and I'll echo, thanks, everybody.
Yes. Thanks, everybody. That was great.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you, Sherry.
Take care. Good night, Michael.
Take care. Good night.